Welcome back. Hope you got your talking in. Or enough of it, I guess. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your continuous feed of your word. We know it's always true. We know it's absolute. We know it's our life. It's how we live our life. We thank you so much for having a guide. Thank you for the correction that you always give us to get us back on track. And we just pray that we can concentrate in a way that is understandable and able to live the life that you would have us live. We thank you for these things. In Christ's name, amen. So we left off talking about phase two, and we got to 1 Corinthians, back to verse or chapter 3 again. And let me go there, and I'll start reading from verse 14. It says, if any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. So now there's a reason I would say to be excited to cross the finish line. That right here, this verse is telling you why. Because there is an actual thing or reward that we get for living the Christian way of life. And that's, I think that's an important thing to remember, because as you go through this life, you know, we sometimes forget that it, even though it's hard, even though it may not be fun, even though it may be very trying and testing, there's rewards behind those. If we live accordingly and live according to God's plan for your life in the power of the Holy Spirit, that is rewardable. There is no doubt about that. So nothing is done just, you know, for no reason. God takes all these things into account. But it's very clear to me that you see the first word of this verse, if. There's that condition. So that condition is based on the man's work, based on your work, and if that work remains, is what this verse is saying. This is based on, remember the quality, the examination process that we go through. Did we examine ourselves? Did we examine the work? Just like the verse has said, and if it remains, if we did, it will remain, because it was in righteousness, and it is qualified according to God. That's genuine. When you hold something up to the fire and it doesn't burn, it means it's going to remain. And that's what we want. We want our works, our deeds to last through the fire, and that's what we want in our bags. So this Greek word for reward is also found in Revelation 22:12, kind of the same type of thing here. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. So there you go. This, you know, you might have a picture in your head, someone coming on with a big red bag and full of rewards and riding on a sleigh. Pretty close. Except it's God, and he's probably not on a sleigh and or have a red bag, but he's got a lot of rewards. He's got rewards with him. So, and he's, you know, it's interesting that he has them with him. It's not going to be like there's a waiting process that you have to go through to get to receive the reward. He's got them with him. In other words, he already knows. He's just almost like the examination is for us and for others to see. Because God knows, right? Remember, these things are going to be evident to all, very visible, our works. So you got to think about that, that this is pre-planned and God knows what's happening here, but we still got to go through the process. You don't walk in a room and walk out the back door and knowing nothing happens. There's going to be a process that we go through for that, the testing and the receiving of the reward. So that's a great picture. To render here means to pay back. And in this case, to pay back for your dedicated Christian service and divine good production in your life. That's what this is referring to. Remember that reward versus gift, that difference. There's a payback in reward. There's something you're gaining. There's something you're working towards. The gift is given, salvation. The reward is based off the way you live your life. Remember, heaven is not based off a reward. Getting into heaven is based off a gift. The rewards follow after how you're distinguishing yourself between other Christians in the walk. We don't distinguish ourselves before salvation, but after salvation you do, because that's where this comes into play. It's all going to be different for each one of us. And I think that has to do with a lot of things. Persevering in the faith, producing the fruits of the Spirit, and divine good. But in all these cases, notice that when we do these things, who does it go toward? Who's the glory go towards? God. It goes to God, but look what he's doing here. He's rendering, or he's paying us back for glorifying him in this life, is what he's saying. He's taking that into account, because it's not... because remember, there is a sacrifice. There is a sacrifice. You know, your body's the temple, but there's still sacrifices in life. And to choose the option that God gives us versus the flesh or the physical world is the sacrifice that we have to make. And that's the part that's not always the easiest to make, right? You know, it's a lot easier to choose the lifestyle we want, or the lifestyle, the path of least resistance. But God doesn't call you to that. He calls you to take the test, the trials, because you have the amount of maturity available to glorify him within those tests and those trials. See, that's a sacrifice. That's an option that you have taken, knowing where you are and knowing that, you know what, I'm still going to continue to grow spiritually. I'm still going to continue to glorify God, because he has me here for a reason. A reason. His purposes, right? And of course, it always benefits us when we go through these things. When after we get through the test, when we, you know, look back, guess what you've gained? Capacity. God is waiting to bless. He's waiting to give. He's waiting to provide that more and more contentment in your life. But we've got to get to these levels of higher capacity so we can handle these greater things. Because, you know, if God is going to give it to you, you can guarantee it's going to be great. And you cannot handle the greatness that God is wanting and willing to give you if you don't have what his truth in your soul that can handle it. It's just not possible. So we've got to have the capacity. And, you know, that's a sacrifice getting to that point, is what I'm telling you. So don't feel like you're, you know, on a ship all alone by yourself, because they're not. Faithfulness and dedication are not easy. No one said that. Obedience, all these things. So, you know, sometimes you kind of feel like, you know, this isn't any fun, right? You look around, you say, God, this isn't fun. And I understand that. You know, that we're people. There's pain involved. Things hurt. But just keep in mind that God takes all those things into consideration. He knows how you feel. Jesus Christ was a human being, remember, that suffered like no man will suffer in our lifetime. So he knows how we feel. He designed the body. He knows what a certain disease does to us, and he knows how that affects us mentally, physically. He knows what we go through. He knows the stages. He knows what we go through with people, how our emotion works, and the things that people, how they can hurt us. He knows exactly how we feel. So don't ever think that he just doesn't understand. God knows. He designed. He created. And he just because he didn't create or design this in nature doesn't mean he's not God and he can't fully understand. Remember, he is omniscient. He sees and he knows very well how things work. So don't get down and out because, you know, you feel like you're all alone on your own. You're not. And there's only good things on the other side of what you're going through. So there's challenges in this life, and the suffering that we go through, it is really what we're doing is we're upholding God's righteousness. Remember, we're coming in this world unrighteous. We're made righteous. And then you have to uphold this righteousness in phase two. You're supposed to live a righteous life as a Christian. There's where the pain comes in. There's a lot of suffering involved in living a righteous lifestyle as a Christian. There's a lot of decisions that you have to make continuously throughout your day that are a sacrifice. No doubt about it. And so, Acts 20:32, Paul gives he's kind of giving his farewell address to the elders of Ephesus, and this is what he said. "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Notice a few different things here. These are words that we've been talking about. Build. There's that word for build that you know. It's not the build on top of that we're doing. This is the actual building that God is doing. But look where it's coming from. It's coming from his word. That's what actually builds us. Remember, we're building on top of something. We're taking something and we're building. Well, here you go. Here's your what you can build with, at least one of the things. God's word. God's word. And that's, remember, that was that spiritual house of the soul word, oikodome. So the word here means to build a house. And you can remember, we definitely have a part to play here. In this case, I think God is pointing out that it's actually God's word which does the actual building. The word able, do you see the word able here? I didn't underline it. But his word is able. It's able. And that word for able is it means to have the ability, to have the strength, to have the power, to be able to build you up to a certain level that is, you could say, approved or genuine or able to... There's where really your capacity comes from, isn't it? It's from the power of God's word that it gives to you so you can handle the testing and the adversities in a better way than you did before as a younger, immature believer. That's the power of God's word. And of course, the Holy Spirit is involved in this, but you get the point. We have to have something, the contents there in existence in your soul to be able to think with the mind of Christ. If we're going to live righteously, it takes, there's multiple pieces coming together here. So that's why it's effective. This isn't a human counselor giving you temporary advice with no lasting eternal change. This is God himself building, counseling you through his word. That's what's able to build you up. And then you see the results. It gives you an inheritance. And that's where the rewards come in, the inheritance. There's a distinction at the end among all those who are sanctified. In other words, among all believers. Make yourself distinct. If you were one in this life who chose to stand above the crowd and make a name for yourself because of your whatever you did, that's all good things, but do it in the spiritual life. We have an opportunity to do that. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:15, we'll continue with our verse. "If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will remain saved, yet so as through fire." So this is bringing up a couple points. You can see here that a person's salvation is not dependent on his work. That's what one of the things this verse is telling me. Some people will show up in great hopes. They may have their bags packed in their minds. They'll be proud of what they think is good and all in the name of Jesus Christ. But guess what? Some of those will be worthless. You know, there's a rule book here we've got to follow. Fortunately, God provides us the grace to look to these things to see how to do them. And we can't just go about it on our own and expect to receive something by not following the rule book, which is God's word. But the point I'm trying to make is yet as through the fire. He's going to be saved. In other words, you know, if we show up and we have a bunch of dead works, that doesn't determine your salvation. What determines your salvation is faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. That's it. Rewards are something that you gain. And this is verses, I think, bringing that out. Yes, you will suffer loss. There's that, you could say, shame that the Scripture talks about, a moment of shame at that evaluation. There's that loss. I think there will be a realization that we see at that moment of something that we didn't take advantage of. You know, you look back and you say, well, why didn't I do that? It'll be that, but times 100. You know, we'll say, you know, this life and that was it, and I can't go back. I can't live it. We're here now, though. So that's a good thing that we're still here, because we can build, we can rack up these rewards and minimize the loss that this is talking about. Because you don't ever want to get to that point and look back and say, why? I should have done this. And you kick yourself for the rest of your life for not. Well, you can kick yourself for the rest of eternity now. Of course, you know, after this point, I'm sure God is gracious enough not to let us have any doubt, any shame, you know, once you get into eternity. You're in heaven. It's a perfect environment. But this is the judgment day and evaluation. And you will be able to see other believers. You will be able to see what other believers have. You will be able to see what other believers are partaking with in the millennium with Jesus Christ. And maybe you won't be. You know, that maybe the shame will be gone, but there will still be a distinction to be made among people in heaven. And we want to be the ones that are taking part in as much of this as we can. We want to be given the responsibility because we took on the responsibility now and here and made the appropriate decisions to do so. It's easy to not do this, what you're doing. It's easy to not do this. That's why most people take that option. It's not easy to do this. It takes a lot of perseverance. It takes consistent spiritual growth. And God knows that, like we just talked about. But you can see that everything is taken into account. And that's the important part. And there's also loss involved to those who will be held accountable in the other direction as well. And then verse 16 here, actually, remember I jumped to this verse just to show you a point last time. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Just calling out the believer, right? Destruction here isn't talking about eternal condemnation in hell. This is talking about your life. This is the sin unto death. God can destroy a believer, believe it or not. He can take your life out quicker than we'd like. And that's the point of, if we're not living holy, if we're not living as unto God because of that temple that He's given you in His righteousness, there's a time limit on that. You know, you can only live unrighteously for so long. And then God says, destruction. The discipline turns into destruction. Remember, the discipline was designed to get back on track, to motivate in a new direction, to do all these things. And we see, you know, all these signs coming to us of God's discipline of trying to course change us. But this is saying that if we don't do that, that's it, destruction for the physical life. So you've been made righteous at the point of faith when you put you, which puts you in a position of responsibility to live righteously. And I think this verse is really calling that part out because there is an alternative, as we see, destruction. Now, I was wanting to get into more of the righteous living, what that looked like, remember? And so let's start to move in that direction. Now, there's a few different places that I wanted to stop, but let's look at a verse here, Proverbs 15:9. It says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but He loves one who pursues righteousness. This is phase two, what we've been talking about. And notice this word, radaf. It's a verb, PL, participle, and it means to pursue or to chase. But I don't know if you remember, but the PL stem is that stem of intensity. It adds a level of intensity to the pursuit on your part. That, to me, says that, well, for one, it's not easy. But it takes a dedication, it takes an amount of time, and it takes faithfulness on your part. But it also takes there's a chase involved. In other words, we have to stay on top of that pursuit of righteousness. But He loves it. God loves it, is what this verse is saying. He loves those who pursue His righteousness, who pursue His righteous lifestyle. He loves that. I'm not just saying he loves some believers and some He doesn't. It's saying that He loves this specific quality. We do know that from this verse. You can't ever say God doesn't love you. So there's an intensity to this word. So instead of simply to pursue, we could say it means to passionately pursue. To passionately pursue. I think you're all an indication of that. There's a passion involved in living the Christian way of life. No other way to say it. It's right. There's no way we can get around it. You have to be passionate. I guess you could always just show up, and that's fine. I'd love to have you. But at the same time, the Christian walk requires passion. It really does. It requires a passionate something from your soul, a drive. And really, what is it rooted in? It's rooted in love. You're chasing someone that loves you more than you love them, and you're meeting them there with their love, that agape love, that God loved you first and that pursuit started, and here we are. You know, really, we can't even take credit for the pursuit of phase two. You just happen to stick around long enough where He got you. God got you, and now you're pursuing because His word is the one that you're pursuing. It's Him. It's His mind. It's God Himself. It's the lifestyle that He gives us. So, but he still rewards that, you know. So, and if we're going to passionately pursue righteousness, well, that means, I think, a few things. Consistent in your Bible study. So you have something to pursue with. And then God gives you the motivation to drive forward because of His riches in grace and blessings in this life. There's motivation to be had, not just from living, but from what all the other things that God graces us out with. There's so many details that we don't take into account that is gracious. That, you know, that can you imagine the things that can happen to you in the walking out of these doors? Every little, you know, that you don't think about it, but just tripping and falling down can happen at any point in your life. And it does. We get hurt, things happen, but think about how often God graces us out and blesses us and guides us and keeps us from things like that happening. You know, or it doesn't have to be a physical thing. This could be a situational thing. He makes situations change, move, shift. He controls the timing in your life because when you're in His plan, He's going to provide you with grace and He's going to bless you. You know, before, I can't tell you how many times, before you're in the plan of God, think about before you were consistent, think about all the problems. Think about all the little bitty problems. You lose your wallet, you lose your cell phone, you lose your keys, somebody hits your car. You're having issues, there's all these drama issues in your life you're dealing with, you don't know how to deal with them. I mean, we're protected. God protects you from those things. It's not one thing after another that people are dealing with from discipline most of the time. God is trying to course change them. He's trying to get them to go in His direction. But see, you've gotten on board, and when you want to go in the right direction, God honors that. God honors that. And you don't have constant discipline coming in every day of your life, which includes stress and depression, because a lot of people deal with those things. And I'm not talking about the way a mature Christian deals with them. Does that come and go in your life? Yes, it does. You're human. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a life of depression. That's the more than the less in your life. See, it could be a lot worse, a lot worse than you have it now because of who you are and you're growing in God's Word. It's a big difference. I wish more people would realize that. God and His plan for their life eliminates so many problems. So many problems. When you just pay attention to the one who provided you life. Pay attention a little bit to the one who has given you everything that you know on this earth, who created the earth. Just pay him a little attention. He's all he's asking for. No one seems to want it. So passionately pursuing, that naturally means if you're going to pursue righteousness, that naturally means to be diligent to handle unrighteousness. Handle confession. That's that passionate. Stay on top of that. You know, when you think about passionate, I think about a dedication and a faithfulness on the believer's part. Always looking to make corrections or changes based on not something that happens in your life, but based on God's Word. If there's something big coming out, where do we go? Straight to prayer. Oh, I don't know what to do about that. We got to pray about this. See, we're looking for, that's a passion, because you're looking for the answers in the right place. You're not just charting forward and just driving through. Where's the passion at? Is it found in the things of this world, or is it found in God? There's direction. Passion has direction too, right? So that means you have to not only recognize sin, but you have to deal with that sin. Recognize it and deal with it. And all that means is acknowledge it. Everyone knows they have sin. They may say they don't sin, but that doesn't matter. The reality is that the Word tells us we are sinners. And if we don't believe that, it says we're liars and we don't practice the truth. So we're sinners. The issue isn't do we sin or if we're going to sin, because those are answered already by Scripture. The issue is what do you do with it? Passion. Have a passion for that area too. Because remember, His justice will respond whether we respond or not. That discipline will step in. So this is the area. Another area I wanted to stop off, because we're talking about the pursuit of righteousness. That's phase two. That's what we do, pursuing God and His lifestyle for us. That's where we are. So let's look at a little bit of motivation, because remember, this takes the right motivation. And you know this all goes back to the Word, back to the Holy Spirit, and living a lifestyle of that. But let's look at some of that, what that looks like. This verse is in Matthew 6, and this is the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, there's a lot of views about these section of verses. I'm not here to get into the details on those, at least right now. But I will say, I think these specific verses and actually all Scripture is God-breathed and it's profitable. So here is Matthew 6:1, and this is Jesus Christ talking to His disciples. Sermon on the Mount. Maybe some red words in your Bible. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Now, first of all, a lot of people are doing this. This is why He is calling this out, because this was a big deal then. It's a big deal today. It's a big deal with unbelievers. It's a big deal with believers. I know it doesn't count for unbelievers. It doesn't matter. If it's before men, they're going to do it, because that's where their passion lies. That's who it counts before. And I'm even talking to us here, because this is an issue for us as well. And it needs to be talked about. So this is bringing up the motivation part of it. And remember, Jesus Christ is talking to believers. So this has to do with not getting into heaven. It has to do with reward. reward, the walk. The word beware, you see the word at the top? It's prosuko, or prosecco, and it's a verb. It's a present active imperative. To be in a state of alert, be concerned about. So this is something, when we think of passion, think of alertness. It takes a level of alertness that comes with living and growing and glorifying God. You've got to be alert to what you do and how you do it. You have to be alert. You know, you can't, living, saying one thing and doing another is can be separated, but in our case, God is trying to get us on one page with those. Are you a Christian by word of mouth? Are you a Christian by how you live your life? That's phase two. It's not talking about salvation. Reward. So the word here is basically a warning to watch out for this. Which to me, when we have an imperative to believers here telling us to beware, it means we're prone to do that. It means we're prone to do it. We have a sin nature, and there's people around us. So when we go to do something, sometimes we can be deceived into that sin nature's idea of receiving some glory from people. So that's a command. That's why it's here. We're prone to doing good deeds with the motivation to be noticed by other people. So this is seeking praise or approval from others, looking to take the credit, you could say. This is also known as approbation lust, or you can call it the glory grabber. The glory grabber. One who is looking for some kind of attention or glory, and sometimes it's at the expense of other people. That's how, it's a powerful thing. It's a sin nature issue that we have to deal with. And sometimes we as human beings will sacrifice other people just to satisfy that lust pattern of that approbation to be satisfied. That's why it's a warning here, because we've got to be careful. We have to look for that kind of thing. So wrong motivation is always a product of what? The sin nature. Which means if we're doing this, we're in a state of carnality. No doubt about it. The flesh. When the flesh takes over, we're not glorifying God anymore. You're only glorifying man. And I'm including yourself into this picture here. And then look at what verse 2 says. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Wow. This is saying they're going to get what they deserve, which is probably, you know, there's a couple things that happen here when we're in the wrong motivation as believers. Of course, we receive correction from God, discipline, but we also just saw that we lose out. Remember, on those rewards. But this is saying they're going to get what they deserve. They're going to get their reward in full. This is an exaggeration, but it's telling the truth, not in the sense of a reward, but in the sense of what they probably are not going to want. Remember, the word hypocrite here is one who professes one thing, or what they profess does not match their practice. Someone who says one thing and does another. May talk a good game. All these things, but when it comes to rightly being motivated in their soul and doing something correctly, there's no application. That's what this is referring to. So what are they desiring? Well, it says they desire to be honored by men. Now listen to the word honored here. It means to render or esteem glory. Honor. It means valuing, or sorry, it means, or in a Godward sense, it means giving glory to God, or personally acknowledging God in His true character. is what glory, this word glory means. But look where they're seeking it. It's not in God here. It's not in God's character. It's from men. And this just means, I think for all of us, it's just time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Seriously. There's no other way to say that except it's just time to grow up as believers. You know, there's a time in our life as we're growing up spiritually where this is an issue. But there's also a time where you move past this issue. And this is no longer an issue. This is just a progressive sanctification issue that we've got to grow out of. Because this isn't where the glory is. This isn't where the rewards are. See, it's a deception, literally. Our sin natures deceive us into thinking that this is the best option when it's not. That's where the rewards are not found. And we receive just the opposite of what we're looking for. Taking the temporary option to satisfy a lust pattern, or taking the permanent option, swallowing your pride, being right and motivated in the power of the Holy Spirit and glorifying God. See the sacrifice there? Yes, it is a sacrifice. It is, but it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. I mean, it's a no-brainer when you talk about it out loud. But that's what the sin nature does. It deceives. And when we don't examine ourselves, when we're not passionate, when we're not in it consistently, guess what? You fall to that deception. You'll continue to fall to that deception. Look at verse 3. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That's what this is about. This is about where are we looking to receive something from? Is it temporary human glory, or is it right here? Seeking to glorify and satisfy and please the Father, God the Father. It's a big deal. In secret literally means kept hidden inwardly or secret. You know, our motivation is to God, and it's not to be taken back from Him by drawing attention to ourselves. That's what this is saying. If you're glorifying God, that is a soul issue. Application is a soul issue. This isn't something that when we're going to give from a grace perspective, we're not going to bring a trumpet in our trunk of our car and blow the alarm because we want people to know what's going on here. This is a glory issue, and God wants the glory. He actually demands it. That's a command. Glorify God in your body. Last I checked. So you got to ask yourself, who are you glorifying? Who are you honoring? God or self? And there's really no honor in self. All that really matters is the one who counts, the Father. He's the one who's given the rewards. So that's a, you know, this can be a tough verse because this is a challenge for growing, mature, any believer across the board. I'm not saying it's not a challenge. We deal with people and we have to deal with the decision process that goes through just what this verse is talking about. Are we sounding the alarm? Are we letting our right hand know what our left hand is doing? And all that's saying is don't draw attention to it, is all that's saying. If it's not necessarily doesn't need to be drawn attention to, don't mention it. Don't draw attention. I'm not saying that nothing needs to be known, right? You can take this to the extreme. You know, people, it's good to hear things sometimes that people do. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But I'm saying only you know your motivation in doing so. Only you do. This is talking about having a grace perspective right here. If we're going to be gracious about it, we're glorifying God. He gets the credit. He will reward you. So I think that's a good place to stop. But next time, I wanted to get into more of what the carnal Christian versus the spiritual Christian looks like, and the consequences for doing each way or walking in each way. And of course, you probably guess it, we're moving to Galatians 5 because it talks about the carnal Christian or the spiritual Christian. And that's why I want to talk about it, because that's the walk. That's the approval versus not approved. That's the living in the spirit versus the flesh. Let me just read the first verse, or the first few verses. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." There's your either or. There's that no gray, no middle, no way to, you know, walk the tightrope and just be in the middle of them both. You're either on one side or you're on the other. Verse 17, "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." So you can see why it's one or the other. They're opposed. They are at odds. They are battling. One wants wrong motivation. One wants right motivation, which is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants correct, right. The flesh wants wrong. So these are good verses, because it also gets into the fruits of the Spirit. What it looks like as a righteously growing Christian that is motivated correctly and is producing fruit and is looking forward to rewards. That's where we want to be ultimately. So with that being said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just showing us that everything that we do is not only taken into account, but you are knowledgeable of, and you can see and you know, and you have compassion for us as believers in the things we go through in this life. We just need to trust in you and look to you to be glorified. And that's really what the walk consists of, is right motivation, glorifying you in the whole, under the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you so much for the opportunity to do so. And we pray that we can have more time, more emphasis in our life in things that count at the evaluation for believers. We thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.